Church, we're going to look at two different passages. The first one comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verses 17 to 20. And this is what it says. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Okay, the second passage we're going to look at is in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 to 20. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his promise, of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, as promised, there's a part two, and Pastor titled this morning's message, "A High Priest Forever After the Order of Melchizedek, Part Two." Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning!
Good morning!
It is indeed a good morning because Jesus, our high priest, intercedes for us at the throne of the Father. You see, Jesus is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But what does that mean, I asked last week? Why does God promise that the Messiah will be a priest in a similar way to Melchizedek? The story of Melchizedek is a very brief story in the life of Abraham, highlighted once in the book of Genesis. Yet this story is at the heart of the gospel. This week, we conclude our study of who this person Melchizedek is and what his importance is in the scripture, both Old and New Testaments, by looking at the book of Hebrews, chapters 7 and 8. So without any more delay, let us pray and look at our text for today. Dear Lord, Father, this priest Melchizedek points us forward to the high priest, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, being a priest after the order of Melchizedek is a different thing than the priests of the Old Testament Israel. Father, there are only, as far as we know, two priests after the order of Melchizedek, that being Melchizedek and Jesus Christ. Father, with only two, let us compare and contrast these two men, one of whom is not only a man, but is also God, Father. Reveal to us the meaning of being a priest after the order of Melchizedek, so that we might better understand our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Open our hearts to this word. Change us and make us more like our high priest, Jesus Christ. Help us to cherish him more, love him more, trust in him more, believe in his work more, know that his promises are sure. Father, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 3 speaks of this Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything that he had. He is first Melchizedek by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. After Abraham returned from his victory over the kings, he met this priest named Melchizedek, who serves the Most High God, and Melchizedek blessed him. Abraham responded by giving Melchizedek a tenth part of everything he had. But who is this Melchizedek, and why is he so important? Melchizedek's name, first of all, means King of Righteousness. That is what Melchizedek means. And his title, King of Salem, means King of Peace. But what is most extraordinary is that Melchizedek appears in the account of Genesis, unlike all the other people in Genesis, without father or mother, without any genealogy at all. He appears without any record of a birth or death, without any beginning of days nor end of life. Melchizedek most resembles the Son of God, Jesus Christ, because his priesthood is one without beginning or end. His priesthood is one that lasts forever. And could that not be the purpose of his mention in the account of Genesis? The meaning of his encounter with Abram, the father of our faith. Melchizedek existed so that the priesthood of Jesus Christ might one day exist. Abram met Melchizedek so that Abram might one day meet Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, who is high priest forever after Melchizedek's order. Hebrews 7, 4 through 6. See how great this man Melchizedek was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoil. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man, Melchizedek, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Melchizedek was a great man. Abraham, the patriarch of all Israel, gave a tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek. The priests of the Jewish people, the descendants of the tribe of Levi, had been given the duty by God in his law of collecting tithes from the people of Israel. But all those priests have descended from Abraham himself, the father of the nation of Israel, the first Jew. This man, however, Melchizedek, was not descended from Abraham at all, yet he receives tithes from Abram even before Abram had even one heir. God gave Abram the promise of a people, of an inheritance, but Melchizedek received the tithes and blessed Abram in return, even before God had begun to fulfill his promises to Abram. Hebrews 7:7-10. You see, it is beyond dispute that the inferior one is blessed by the superior one. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives the tithes, paid tithes through Abraham to Melchizedek, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met Abram. The author of Hebrews argues an indisputable point. When one man blesses another in the name of God, it is the superior man who blesses the inferior. When Melchizedek was given by God the privilege of receiving Abram's tithes and offering the blessing of the Most High God in return, it pointed to the superiority of Melchizedek's priesthood over Abram and over the priesthood of Levi, which would come from Abram. It is even possible to say that Levi himself, who received the first tithes from the people of Israel, was paying tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek here in the account of Genesis. Levi was not yet born, but Abram represented Levi, his descendant, when he paid the tithes to Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:11-12. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law of God, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. Perfection had not been attainable through the priesthood of Levi or under the Old Testament law. That is why there needed to be another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, a final high priest that is superior to all those named after the order of Aaron, the first high priest of Israel. Jesus Christ is indeed that ultimate high priest. But when Jesus became high priest, there was a major change in the priesthood because he is not a priest after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. And when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law itself as well. Hebrews 7:13-14. For the one of whom these things are spoken belong to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar as a priest. For it is evident that our Lord Jesus was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. It is evident that Jesus Christ belongs to a different Jewish tribe than the tribe of Levi, the tribe from which came the priests in the nation of Israel. No priest ever served at the altar in the temple of God from the tribe of Judah, but it is from the tribe of Judah and not the tribe of Levi that Jesus Christ, the final high priest, comes. Never did Moses say or write anything in the law about a high priest coming from the tribe of Judah. Yet, Moses did write in Genesis, indeed a part of the Jewish law, about the priest named Melchizedek, who came before the priests of the order of Aaron. Hebrews 7:15-17. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witness of him, Jesus, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It is even more evident the uniqueness of the priesthood of Jesus Christ when he becomes high priest, not on the basis of descending from the tribe of Levi, but instead on his power of an indestructible life. Just as Melchizedek had no beginning or end, and thus was a priest forever, so also Jesus Christ is like Melchizedek in that his priesthood has no beginning or end. In fact, Jesus Christ himself has no beginning or end. He always existed as God and always will exist. Though he was born as a man, he was never born as God because he always was God. And though he died as a man, he will never die as God, because he always will be God. Jesus Christ truly is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:18-22. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. For those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath, by the one who said to him, Jesus, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You, Jesus, are a priest forever. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. While the former priesthood and its former commandments in the law have been set aside because of the work of Jesus Christ, a better hope has been introduced in the priesthood of Jesus, through which all who trust in him can draw near to God. God has made an oath, and we will remember that when God has made an oath, he assures us that he will indeed keep his promise. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind that Jesus Christ will be a priest forever. Because of this, the old covenant, though it has been broken, can be set aside for the sake of the new covenant, a better covenant in which we have a surely promised salvation, guaranteed in the work of Jesus Christ as our high priest. Hebrews 7:23-25. The former priests in the old covenant were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. All the priests of the order of Aaron could not continue making their sacrifices because all of them died, and thus no lasting atonement was made by the former high priest. But Jesus Christ holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever by his power as God, by the power of his resurrection. Jesus continues to make intercession for those who trust in him forever. He is able to save his people to the uttermost, to the very end, because Jesus is their high priest forever. Jesus offers to God the ultimate atoning sacrifice, the sacrifice he made on the cross once for all, of his own blood, for the forgiveness of the sins of everyone who will believe in him, and believe in him. Jesus intercedes before God the Father continually for the sins of his people by offering his own perfect life as the sinless Lamb of God on the cross, where he took the wrath of the Father in the place of all people who would have faith in him. Every one of us deserves eternal hell as the punishment for our sins against God. But for all those who would have Jesus as their high priest, he has taken their sin upon himself and bought their pardon from the penalty of hell. As their high priest, he stands in the presence of the Father continually and pleads his blood as the purchase for their forgiveness of sins. Jesus told the woman at the well in the Gospel of John clearly of his offer to be her high priest forever and ever. John 4:13-14. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Everyone who drinks of the water of life that Jesus offers to them will never be thirsty again. Those who will trust in Jesus as their high priest will have in them a spring of supernatural water that will overflow into eternal life. Jesus has lived a perfect, sinless life that we can receive in place of our own sinful life when we trust in him. Because we have not believed the promises of God, we have rejected him and sinned against him. And because we have sinfully rejected his promise in his eternal high priest, Jesus Christ, we will be forever condemned to hell. But we can escape hell through the work of that very high priest who offers us eternal life if we will trust in his life, trust in the work that he has done on the cross, and receive the new spiritual life purchased by the power of his resurrection. Jesus lived so that we might have his righteousness. He died so that he might intercede with the Father, the work of his death, in place of our death, as he is our high priest when we trust in him for his intercession. And he was resurrected so that he might be our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, so that he might guarantee the blessings of the new covenant for his people. And in the new covenant, because of the power of Jesus' resurrection, those who trust in Jesus have eternal life, both now and in the life to come. Hebrews 7:26-28. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest in Jesus, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. It is indeed fitting. It is the will of God that the people of God should have a high priest such as Jesus, who is holy and innocent, unstained by sin, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. As both God and man, he has no need, like the other high priests, to offer sacrifices each day. He has no sin in himself, so he has no need up any sacrifice for his own sin, and he has no need to offer any further sacrifice for the sins of his people, since he has paid the price for all their sins when he offered up himself on the cross. While the law of God has set up men in their weakness to offer weak sacrifices as high priests that did not ultimately pay the final price for sin, an oath from God that comes later, a promise that will always be kept, has appointed his son Jesus Christ as the perfect high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. A high priest who will never die, a priesthood that will never end, a sacrifice offered once for all time, and a new covenant promised by the Father that cannot be broken. Hebrews 8, 1 through 3 goes on. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord Jesus set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. So what is the main point of the story of Melchizedek? Who is he? Melchizedek is the one who points us, who pointed Abram to the ultimate high priest, Jesus Christ. And we have this perfect high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, where he sits on his throne in heaven. He ministers in the holy places there in the greatest temple of all, the dwelling place of the Father, who is God, in the true tent that the Lord Jesus Christ has set up, not as man, but as the Son of God, who is also God himself. And this high priest, Jesus Christ, offers his own indestructible life, his own perfect death, which pays the ultimate price for sin, and the power of his resurrection as the work which intercedes for his people as he brings them out from under the Father's wrath and into their own final sanctification by which they shall enter the presence of God in heaven. Hebrews 8, 4 and 5. Now if Jesus were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. These priests serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, the tabernacle, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." If Jesus were merely an earthly priest, then he would not be a priest at all, since there have already been earthly priests who did that work. These priests serve only as a copy and a shadow of the heavenly realities. Moses was instructed by God to create these copies and shadows so that they might point to these heavenly truths, to this heavenly high priest, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 8, 6 and 7. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. However, Jesus Christ has a ministry that is far more excellent than the old covenant ministry, which pointed to his ministry. Though Melchizedek was indeed an amazing man, Jesus is a perfect man, the Son of God. Though Melchizedek was an awesome priest, he was merely a man. Jesus is the great high priest and is not merely a man, but is God. Though Melchizedek's priesthood endures forever as a priest of the Most High God, Jesus' priesthood endures forever as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Though the promises of the first covenant were powerful, the promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ are better promises. God the Father has made a new covenant with the people of Jesus Christ. First, with the people of Israel who would believe in their Messiah, and then with the people of every nation who would repent of their sins and put their trust in him. Hebrews 8:8-9. For God finds fault with them when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord." Here in Hebrews 8, the author of Hebrews quotes Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, where God makes the new covenant promise to the nation of Israel. First, God finds fault with his people when he says that the days are coming when a new covenant is needed with them because they did not keep the old covenant that he had made with them, the covenant of the law. Though he had given them the law and commanded them to obey it, when they had come out of the land of Egypt, they had not continued in that law. Thus, the old covenant was broken, and God showed no concern for those who rebelled against him. Hebrews 8:10-12. God continues, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I, God, will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." But secondly, God intended to keep all the promises he had made to them through their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he would make a new covenant with his people, the house of Israel, and all those who would believe in their Messiah, Jesus Christ. God the Father would put his laws into their minds and hearts so that they would not simply obey externally, but internally on the inside in their hearts. Then he would truly be their God and they would truly be his people. And no one would need to teach others to know God, for they would all know him, all know their high priest, Jesus Christ, from the least person to the greatest. And because of Jesus, the great high priest, God the Father would be merciful toward the iniquities of his people, be merciful toward their sins, and remember them no more. The new covenant made in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the high priest of God, would save those who trust in that high priest forevermore. Jesus Christ, a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. One application. Today, as we reflect on the life of Abram and his encounter with Melchizedek, let us remember that the Bible, all the Bible, points us to the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who cannot lie, guarantees every promise made to us in his new covenant ministry as our great high priest. So let us believe Jesus for everything that he is for us, in every promise that he makes to us, past, present, and future. Let us pray. We must believe, Father, that is the contingency on which our salvation depends. Father, you offer us so many promises in your Son Jesus, in him as high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Help us to believe those promises, repent of our sins, be saved, and to live for him in obedience to him every single day. I pray all these things in the name of our high priest, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray for the tithing and offering. Gracious Heavenly Father,